Welcome back to Sleep Pills, the podcast where we dive into the complex world of sleep in plain language, brought to you by the Sleep NeuroLab. I am Julio Gonzalez, a psychiatrist with a special interest in the management of sleep disorders, and today I'll be hosting this conversation on a vital but often misunderstood topic: how sleep may change with age. Sleep complaints are very common among older adults, yet they are often dismissed as inevitable. But is that truly the case? With me today is Dr. Cesar Gallardo, a psychologist specialized in neuropsychology and behavioral sleep medicine. Welcome, Cesar.
Thank you so much, Julio. It's a pleasure to be here. And yes, I think the idea that poor sleep is just part of the aging is one of the most damaging myths out there.
Very good. So let's begin with what actually changes with age in the brain when we are talking about sleep regulation.
Totally true. I mean, we have to basically know that we can see changes on the brain, for example, reduced amplitude in some circadian signals, particularly in some, let's say, nucleus in the hypothalamus, and melatonin, for example, secretion decreases, leading to early bedtimes and awakening. So we have a physical change in our brain, and there's also less slow wave sleep, which we know is very important for several processes. So while the total amount of time of bed night, it doesn't change too much, sleep becomes lighter and more fragmented. And that's the main issue that we find with the aging.
Okay, and that fragmentation, what are the key causes of it?
Well, to answer this question, we have different layers here. Physiologically, for example, older adults experience more arousals that may result, can be basically produced by pain or rather function or temperature sensitivity. So the other layer that we have to take in consideration is medication and chronic conditions like arthritis, COPD, or heart failure. And also, this could be a very important contributor depending on the age and the health of the patient. And psychologically, for example, loneliness, anxiety, and grieving can disrupt the pre-sleep period significantly. So we have to see the patient in all the dimensions to understand what is going on.
Okay, and all these, can it also be associated to cognitive disorders?
Absolutely. Alzheimer's and other dementia can disrupt the sleep-wake cycle significantly. So we have to consider this. You have one phenomenon that is called sundowning, where agitation and confusion increase in the evening, leading to, you know, delayed erratic sleep. So that's really common. So here, the support have to be given to the caregivers, for example. So that's one of the things that we can find.
Okay, and going into that direction, let's turn into the management. What is your approach for a patient, let's say in their 70s, who is presenting with chronic insomnia?
Well, first of all, I think understanding the case and the contributors, okay, the medical contributors, psychological, and all the things are important. We have to review, for example, pain, the kind of pain, what is the level of pain that the patient report, medication side effects. That's the other thing we have to review. If we have a restless legs, for example, and of course, introducing CBTI works wonderfully, even with older adults. And we address negative belief, for example, here about what is the sleep, you know, reframing all the role of napping, introducing healthy cues for the sleep, and all these factors can help to restore the sleep pattern. Often, people have simply stopped engaging in evening without routines, so we try to rebuild, okay, those rituals to contribute for a good sleep at the end.
Okay, and do you see any benefits from using, for instance, like therapy?
Yeah, totally. I mean, morning light exposure is a powerful and realigning circadian rhythm. I often recommend walks before 10 a.m.
Okay, and before you spoke about the family and the caregivers, so how do you think families and caregivers typically fit into this picture?
For me, they are essential in all this picture. Many adults, older adults, basically they go, okay, to look for help, except that the partner or any other adult child gets involved in that situation. So we can find at that age that we're talking about that the family members usually are around. So we need to, let's say, to involve those family members to have a better support. And of course, I mean, families can support sleep-friendly routines, for example, or monitor nighttime behavior and advocate for a comprehensive care when mental health or cognition is a concern or a problem. On the other hand, in dementia patients, the burden of sleep issues may be also, let's say, important. And I think that's the reason why the admission in a long-term care facility is considered.
Wow. So sleep issues in patients with cognitive disorders might be huge. And what would you say to older adults who maybe feel too old to do something about their sleep?
I would say it's never too late. I think everybody deserves a restful sleep. That's really important for many factors. Not only the psychological factor is health itself. So we have to have a good restful sleep. And of course, I mean, what you need is the right guidance because it's totally manageable when we have this kind of problems and we have to look for help. That's all that we have to do. You deserve that at the end.
That's very interesting. Thank you very much, Cesar, and thank you very much to all your listeners.
Thank you for listening to us today. If you wish more information about what we discussed in this program, you can contact us at info@sleepneurolab.com. You can also leave a rating and review to help others find this podcast. And remember, sleep well, live healthy, and be happy.